Blog Talk Radio.
Money, money, money. morning show, the networking radio show that is inedible what you can do on the internet. Internet changed the game, and we are part of the game changer. We are a game changer. Today is my birthday. I was born September 4th, 1948, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I was luckily or really blessed to be born up north. In the 40s, where you were born in the United States dictated how you were viewed, how you were going to live, and what you're going to experience. Because in the 40s, if you were born down south, it was engraved in you and embedded in you a aspect of who you were as an African American. And people were in slavery, and they had to move up to north. Luckily, my mother and father saw the vision, and they left South Carolina. My mother was born in a place called Moscona, South Carolina, and her mother and her father took their seven children and moved to Philadelphia. And that was a blessing for me, because when my mother got married and had me, I was the firstborn of two children. And once I was born in Philadelphia, I was born up north. So I didn't have the stigmatization of the whip of the white man on me every day. I was able to go to school with integrated school. I was able to go to integrated church. I was able to go to integrated playgrounds. I could drink from a water fountain anytime I wanted. I could do things that people down south could not do because I was born in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And that shaped my life. But that was in the 40s, and then the 50s came, and then the 60s came. And as a young man in the 60s, I was also fortunate enough to be able to graduate from high school. Black man in 1966 graduating from high school. A lot of African Americans down south only finished the 7th grade or 8th grade or 5th grade. No education. I was able to achieve a high school diploma. But not more than that, I was able to go to the United States Air Force, the number one branch of the military. People were being drafted in the Army, or you volunteered to go into the Marines, but no one drafted you into the United States Air Force. It was not a draftable branch of service. You had to qualify. You had to be of uniqueness, of a different breed of individual to be accepted in the United States Air Force. It was called the Air Corps at one time. I was fortunate enough to be in the United States Air Force at 18 years old in 1966. And that was when I realized that I was something of uniqueness as a black man, because I was the only black man on my squad. When they said, hup, two, three, four, hup, two, three, four, what are we marching for? The United States Air Force. And I'm marching beside nothing but Caucasians, and I'm 6 feet 4 inches tall, lean fighting machine, and I'm in the back because of my height, not because of my race, because I'm tall and I can look over the whole entire squad. So I was the last person in line based on height, but I was black. And I shined tremendously in the United States Air Force. Then moving up, I went from the Air Force to the police department. But prior to that, I became a branch manager of a bank. I also became a heavy equipment construction repairman and I also was an IBM typewriter repair person. And I became a Prince George's County police officer. And I became a publisher, a talk show host, a motivational speaker. I also became an advocate of helping our youth education-wise. I became an educator to empower our youth to get better grades. But beyond that, based on my police experience and what I witnessed and things I had to do to help people to survive, I became an advocate for domestic violence and suicide. So I've done so much in my 66 years of life. You have to stop and think about what are you doing with your life. Who needs you? Who cares about you? And do you make a difference? We'll be right back with the Russell Press Morning Show. Today is my birthday. Because they wanted to come out. And that's what's important. You come out because you want to come out. Why do we celebrate individual birthdays? What is the purpose of having a birthday party? What is really important when you celebrate a birthday? Can you go back to if you have children and you celebrated their first birthday? Who is that party really for? Is it for the child or is it for the parent? It's more so for the parent because the child has no recollection that they have lived a year. The only reason they lived a year is because of the guardian, the parent, the person who either breastfed them or gave them Similac or took care of them because they cared. They nursed them every single day, made sure they had something to eat. They made sure they was in good health. They took them to the pediatrician. It's a whole year of activity to get someone to live to be 1 year old. So once that 1 year comes, they get a cake, and they put a big number one on the cake, and then they celebrate their birthday. That's what the celebration is about. It's about the individual celebrating 1 year of life. And then as you get older, you have other big celebrations. You have birthdays every year. But then when you become 10 years old, it becomes a big birthday. When you become a teenager, when you're sweet 16, that is a big birthday. To go and not have a sweet 16 party as a young girl, it's got to affect some people. When you turn 21, people normally have a celebration because they officially become an adult. And then you celebrate 25 years old normally. And then the big year that nobody really wants to celebrate, but they are forced to celebrate, and they have to celebrate, but they try to stay away from it, is the 30-year-old birthday, especially for men. Men can skate through life being 19, 20, 21, 25 even. But when a young man tells somebody he is 30 and he does not have everything matched up to be 30, it's a crucial age for a man to admit to. I'm 30 years old. And then you go to the point where you become 40 years old. Now, 40 is a year that you reflect on your life and you don't look like or act like or believe your life existed. Because you say to someone, I am 40 years old. And people look at you like, wow, 40 years old? You have to have something to match up to 40, or you don't want to tell people that you are 40. People, it's a serious age. But then it sort of backflips when you become 45. 45 is a year of reckoning and tossing back in your life and saying that I've done something with my life. I'm 45 years old. I'm not 50, but I'm 45. So 45 is a braggadocious year. It's a braggadocious year if you have something to brag about. Mm-hmm. If you accomplish anything in your life, 45 is the braggadocious year that you do it. 50, when you turn 50, 50 is a fit out, not no use year. When you tell someone you are 50, it changes the game completely. At that point, people realize you've been living on this earth for half a century, and they want to know, what have you done? Who are you? How do you have the audacity, the utmost goal to be 50? What are you doing with your life? That's why when Obama walks out the White House and goes to the press conference and has the swag he has and the hip-hop walk, not only does he say, I'm 50, he look at him and say, wow, look what he's done at 50. So people look at 50 compared to who you are and where you are in your life. If you are a vagabond at 50, you're not going to tell nobody. You're not going to tell nobody. I've met many people on the street between 45 and 50, and they look up at you and they say, I'm only 50 or I'm 51. But then it goes from 50 to what they call 55. 55 is a year of excitement because you're the speed limit. You're the speed limit, 55 years old. And if you're walking around at 55 and you're enjoying yourself, especially if you're a man, 55 gives you options to do so many things. You can go up and down at 55. 55 is a great year for any man, and sometimes for women, but women look at 55 as the defining year of relationship-wise. They say, if I'm married or if I'm going to be married or I may never be married. If a woman reaches 55 and never been married, it's a situation where it's a litmus test. They say, can I or will I? And they go into another mode. For a woman, it's a different situation at 55. If you're 55 years and you've been married as a woman and your kids are now grown and you're doing some things, then you may want to branch out and do some things for your own life. But if you're 55 and you have no kids, and you've never been married, then you focus on a career because you have to tell somebody at some point that you're 55. But 55 is the speed limit. It's a defining year of really who you are in some cases. Moving forward, 60. 60. Now, 60 is a year that you really step outside yourself and look at yourself. That's the year you get the full length mirror and you step out the shower and you say to yourself, these feet, this body, these eyes, these ears, these nose have been functioning for 60 years. And then you hold your arm up, look at your armpits, take both your elbows and put them forward toward the mirror and put them against the mirror and push real hard and try to push back. If you can't push back from your elbows and you're 60, at that point you realize that your body is talking to you and you may not be able to be functional at 60, and then you go into what they call the old age of Arthur. Arthur may jump on you. Things may happen to you. Your knees may go. Your elbows can't be functional. Your eyelids, everything becomes crustable. It becomes a situation where your hair starts losing your hair for some men. You get the receiving line, and then you turn yourself sideways, and there's all kind of hair in your ears. And then you look at yourself and you say, I am 60. 60. A serious year. But if you can get past 60, if you look at it and all of a sudden you wake up and you're no longer 60 and you're going into a thing where you can become 61, you realize, wow, I don't know, I'm 60. And then all of a sudden you're 62, but the actual year that gets you is 65. Because at 65, people really think you are a senior citizen. I was on the bus the other day, and my back was sort of hurting. I was trying to get myself. I had walked a couple of miles, and I decided to take the bus back for my normal walk. And I got on the bus, and I was sitting there, and the bus got sort of full, and I wanted to get up. Normally what happens if a lady comes in or someone comes in, I immediately jump up because of the fact that that's my gentleman training and my mother's training of being a gentleman. I say, lady, can you have my seat? You know, do you want a seat, et cetera? Always give my seat to a lady. This particular day, I was not physically or able to really stand because of I just got back from the hospital, really, and I could not really stand. But I was sitting there, and the lady came on the bus, and they were standing there, and the bus driver yelled back at me, you've been sitting there 30 minutes or something, he says. And the lady's sitting there, and I looked at him like he was half crazy, and I didn't say anything. And I sat there, and four more stops, and then I got up. As I was leaving the bus, I went over to the bus driver. I said, sir, I really want you to know that I was not being disrespectful to any lady. I said that I am retired military 30 years, and I had been on my walk, which my back and my physical aspect was really in a position where I had to rest. I said, I'm 66 years old. The bus driver said, oh, my God. He said, sir, I knew something was wrong when I hollered back at you and you didn't move. He said, but you have a double aspect for the seat. Mm-hmm. He said, not only are you a senior citizen, but you have a disability of an ailment of pain. He said, have a nice day. People don't know what 65 means. There's aspects of life which authorizes you to be places because you are a senior. And one of them is the seat in the front of the bus. It's reserved for senior citizens and people with disabilities. When he found out I was 66 years old, that seat was put there by Metro for me. And then you turn what I am today, 66 years old. I have to take a breath. I have to close my eyes during the broadcast and open them up again and really realize I'm 66 years old. That means you can look and see 70. If you can see 70, you can see 80. You can't see 70 at 18. You can't see 70 at 20. You can't see 70 at 40. And you sure don't look at 70 at 50. But at 60, it's reachable, it's obtainable, it's lookable, it's desirable, inevitable. You're going to see 70. So I want to tell you today that I'm broadcasting live on the World Wide Web. This is Be There Magazine. I am your host every morning. And what you have and what you hear is a man who has breath in his body, a man who is accomplishing something. And we need you. If you ever understand someone who needs you, we need you. You are somebody who we basically need to do things and be where we need to be. So I want to tell you straight up, I'm here for you. You matter. We care. We dare you to accept the aspect of being needed. Don't be ashamed to be needed. We need you. Look forward to seeing you, the Black Caucus. Look forward to you having the Black Card. I'm going to extend, because it's my birthday, I'm going to extend the aspect of the Black Card to each and every individual who hears my voice. It's not too late. Take the Black Card Challenge. Take the Black Card Challenge. It's $49.95. It's a dollar off today. Click on www.bethermagazine. Click on the Black Card and take the Black Card Challenge. The purpose of the Black Card is to support and stop closing of our businesses. Businesses are closing left and right. Also, to bring awareness to domestic violence and suicide. It's all of a cause. We also are helping the homeless. We're going to be making sandwiches for the homeless right before the caucus. Making sandwiches right here at Rittenhouse Street and Georgia Avenue. You can make a sandwich, bring a sandwich, or be a sandwich. Just be there. Just come there and be there. Stand there and watch me hand a sandwich to a homeless individual. Watch how he eats his sandwich and appreciates the fact that we are making a sandwich for the homeless on Saturday before the caucus. So also the boat, also the bus ride. We want to take people around and show them the caucus, show them what's happening, and you'll be able to do that. So this is the Russell Price Morning Show, and I'll be in touch.